Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Wandering One podcast, brought to you by Wandering One Studios and yours truly, your host, Link Flores. Happy first of the month to you. It's the first day of October 2025, and we are just a few days away now, just under 10 days away from the second anniversary of the Wandering One podcast. So I would just like to thank each and every one of you for all the support, all the love, you know, for popping in, sharing, rating, reviewing, hitting me up on Instagram with your comments, questions, you know, emails, whatnot. I would love to see more of those, by the way. Please do so. Even if you only get to do it like once a week, maybe once every other, you know, maybe once a month, that'd be great. Plus, it helps me know that the engagement's happening. And then, you know, you can tell people, hey, man, somebody read my email on a podcast. It's a fun feeling. I mean, it's not going to get you, you know, any money off of a car payment or anything like that, but it's cool. And you help support a content creator like me, even though I hate that phrase, but supporting a small podcaster or a small business person is always a cool thing, I think. And I think you could be super cool by doing it here. Why not? Trust me, I'll still think you're awesome, even if you don't. Thank you for listening. It really, really does help. But yeah, if you guys rate and review, that does kind of help elevate the podcast a little bit. And especially the more people that hear it, the more people see those good reviews, the more likely it is to get recommended and the less likely I will have to bother charging for Patreon ever at all. So, like, I mean, the more likely it is that I won't have to bother charging. That's what I meant to say. Ooh, talk about a slip of the tongue. We'll talk about that in a little bit too. But yeah. Things are going, man. this is such a weird... Such a weird fucking year, man. Like, I don't know, 2025, like if all the months collaborated and got together and we're just like, hey, you know what? Usually you're fun, but this year you're going to be terrible. You're going to be horrible. And you're usually the spooky month, but people are already kind of screwy. People are already screwed up and scared. So you're going to be scary still, but you're going to be like absolutely mortifying this year. All right. So everybody cool with that? On three. One, two, three, break. And then they just decided to just steamroll us. Like, it's a, you know, I'm not gonna lie. Like, there's plenty of good stuff that's happening in the world because that's true. There's a lot of shitty stuff. We're gonna run through some of it because I see it. And I go like, we have to do better, just as a people. And we also it's gonna sound like it's all gloom and doom, but there is actually a bright spot to all of this. So I want you to just bear with me, right? So, I mean, obviously there's the, crazy stuff, right? We've heard all the crazy bullshit from, you know, the Trump administration. I mean, we talked about last week how he got basically laughed out of the UN because he was a rambling, stuttering mess. Pete Hegseth just had a conference just a couple days ago where he addressed, there was over 800 generals and other, you know, like chiefs of staff, basically heads of the military. And he just wanted you guys to know that in the Navy, you can sail the seven seas. And in the Navy, you can set your mind at ease. Pete Hegseth, in some very bizarre, weird kind of way, kind of wants all the military to be hot dudes. Trump is also on that same kind of thing. Talks about how hot the country is. We're so hot. We got the hottest country. No one talks about it. Then he says everyone's talking about it, but then he can't remember who said what and when he said it. So, but yeah, like it's basically trying to come up with a uniform standard, which is already exists in the military, but, they're going to put down a male driven standard for everyone. I'm like, but there's already a universal standard. So we don't have to do this, you know, very sexist approach to physical fitness. And also, again, not everybody in the military needs to look like they jumped off the fucking poster for the Expendables 5. You know what I mean? Like, there are plenty of logicians, there are support staff who don't need to be able to run a 4-minute mile. It'd be healthy, I'm sure, for everyone to be able to do that. But most humans can't do that. So what the fuck are we talking about here? I think Pete Hegseth really, and you know, we've talked about this before, like how Grindr crashed during the Charlie Kirk Memorial in Arizona, and how the CPAC crashes Grindr pretty much every time it shows up. Grindr, I think it also killed Hinge one time. So for people who are supposed to be very much on the, you know, on the supposedly Christian and party of family values kind of talking points. They like to do a lot of freaky shit when they get together. And look, nothing wrong with letting your freak flag fly, but just own it, dude. Own it. You'd be like, hey, we like to get it wet too. I'd be like, I can dig that. I mean, that's your prerogative, man. Go do you. You know, just don't act like you say this stuff out of one side of your face, and then you demonize people for doing the exact same shit you'd be doing behind closed doors at the fucking Radisson. So what are we talking about here, really? Like, how are you portraying family values when this is the kind of shit that happens every time y'all get together? And it's gotten to the point where they don't even blink at it now. Like, they don't, when that whole thing about Charlie Kirk's memorial came out and how Grindr crashed that weekend. Oh, they didn't even blink at that. That was never addressed. If it was brought up, they were like, "Ah, that's not really a story." I'm like, kind of is. Kind of a big fucking story that you guys are so quick to demonize people in the LGBTQ community. And yet when y'all get together, you can't wait to hop on their website and just ruin the shit for all of them so that y'all can get your freak on. Says a lot. You know, I mean, you throw that in there with, you know, just all the bizarre news that's just been all over the world, man. Just, I don't know. I'm stumbling around here because I'm clutching at straws. The mandated but not mandated moment of silence package that the NFL forced onto the teams, and the teams that actually took that and were like, we'll do it. It's very telling. It's very telling of just how the NFL views a vast majority of the population and a vast majority of football fans. It's a very bold, brazen statement. And I'd like to be real clear about this. There were teams that decided they weren't going to air this moment of dreck for the world to see. Because let's be honest, while Charlie Kirk had the right to say what he said, he also was quite a hateful and bigoted asshole. So there is that. And I don't think like the one preacher that we put the video up of said, there's no place in the Bible where we're taught to celebrate and elevate evil. And he was an evil human being. He was a hateful and bigoted asshole. And the fact that the NFL's like, this is our guy and we remember him, really fucking makes me kind of sick. However, there were five NFL teams that had enough sack to not honor Charlie Kirk on that Sunday during the game. And that was the Cincinnati Bengals, the Detroit Lions, the Baltimore Ravens, the Minnesota Vikings, and the Indianapolis Colts. So shout out to them for actually saying, like, you know what? Celebrating this dude is way too divisive of a political stance, period. Whether it's, you know, a moral stance, a political stance, a financial stance is way too divisive, and it's not propagating a healthy narrative, and it's not fun. That's what we do. We're not even really a sports league. We're an entertainment league. We're here to make people have a good time and laugh and get together and shoot the shit. Yeah, this doesn't work for us. So at least 10 teams didn't have to participate in it because they were, you know, playing the games at these stadiums. But yeah, everybody else that decided to go ahead and support that, including our Jacksonville Jaguars, which is a fucking shame. Screw you for that. And for everybody who decided that was a good thing to do, fuck you. That was totally the wrong move. And it was gross. But I think that's one of the things that we're starting to see now is that unless there are actual real world consequences for their actions, people in positions of power or corporations or, you know, investment groups don't ever have to suffer any of those consequences. And so since they never have to suffer them, they just keep doing shit that we wouldn't want or we don't like. It's really bizarre. Like EA currently, the video game company EA, has decided to sell to a Saudi investment group and also another American investment group whose CEO just so happens to be Jared Kushner. It's not a secret. It's actually a real thing. It's a private deal too, which is really funny. $55 billion that will pay their shareholders $210 a share, right? Here's a real issue that we're going to have with this. EA is being purchased by what's called the Public Investment Fund of Saudi Arabia. Also, and two other investment partners, Silver Lake and Affinity Partners. It's an all-cash deal. And Jared Kushner is the CEO of Affinity. Now, the thing that's funny about this is while there's no direct conflict of interest for Jared Kushner making this kind of money, he would likely not be in this position were it not for his father-in-law being able to, you know, sell himself on the name. You know what I mean? Like his association with Trump and, of course, Saudi Arabia, who's, I mean, let's just be real, have not really been the coolest of cats at the best of times. And so affiliating yourselves and sticking your money into their pockets actually turns American stomachs pretty sour. But you see it happen all the time. I mean, Dana White did the exact same thing with the UFC and now with the boxing promotions that he's pulling. You know, we've seen now that it doesn't really take a whole lot to get people to, you know, sell their soul or their ass for that little proverbial pot of soup, you know. And I think that that's one of the things that makes it so egregious is they're doing it in broad daylight and they're not even ashamed. Like, we don't have to hide. You know what I mean? We're running shit right now. And we basically told you we don't care about you. So just take this and know your place and back the fuck down. The real issue with that is, you know, it does show up in places where people don't expect. Like, you know, okay, this is a sweetheart deal for shareholders and for the billionaires and, you know, multimillionaires who are going to be able to afford to buy into this. And, you know, like I said, the group is making like $36 billion of equity in investment. $20 billion is being financed from J.P. Morgan, which is, I mean, why wouldn't J.P. Morgan have their hand in something like this, right? Of course, J.P. Morgan would have their hand in something like this. And EA is just one of the grimiest companies out there. It just really is. They've been a joke in the industry for at least a decade and a decade and a half, probably in the last 15, 20 years. Last 15, 20 years. That would be a decade and a half. Yeah, but, you know, for at least the last 15 to 20 years, they've been like kind of a joke because of the way that they over-monetize video games by adding microtransactions, the predatory practices that they've inflicted upon their players, the EA passes. So play all our EA games, but you can only play our EA games if you get the EA pass, but you also have to get EA pass, which is going through Xbox Game Pass, which means you got to get that too so you can play on the Xbox. It's like, what the fuck? How big? How many rooms do you have so you don't have to see your family ever? Like, how small is your life that you need a house so big that you don't have to know or love anybody? Except your dollar bills and your your accountant and your lawyers. That's the only people you actually give a shit about seeing because they're making you money. It just, that feels like a very empty kind of life to lead. But that's the way they're kind of steering this whole thing. And like I said, the surprise part about that was a thing that just came across the wire as I was getting ready to record was that Xbox, which, I mean, there's not really a surprise here when you consider their intertwinement with EA or their entanglement, let's put it that way. With EA games, Xbox is increasing the cost of its Game Pass Ultimate subscription by 50%. So it's going to be $30 basically, and basically like $32 a month, or like somewhere in that neighborhood. It's going to be like after taxes and stuff like that. So yeah, looks like we might be cutting some Xbox games off and going back to Nintendo for a while. Because even with the online subscription to Nintendo, it's not even that much. Our subscription for all of us, I think, is $80 a year. Whereas Game Pass, I mean, I think we're looking at about $120 every year, $130 every year. Now it's going to go up to almost $330. Yeah, we'll be backing down off of the Ultimate Pass probably pretty quick. And here's the thing. Microsoft is going to have to learn this lesson. They did not pay attention when people watched Disney align itself alongside ABC and Trump to take out Jimmy Kimmel. They watched Disney lose all that money and have to capitulate. And they were like, fuck it, we'll go with it. And even when Disney kept that stank-ass price increase for Disney+, I don't know how they thought that was going to go over. But it went over like a hot fart in church, because everybody who was, you know, aware or had a television or internet access at that time knew what ABC and Disney had done to Jimmy Kimmel. And when they started canceling their Disney Plus and Hulu and ESPN memberships, they were like, uh-uh, no. And they spoke loud and clear and told Disney and all those people in no uncertain terms, we don't deal with this. Now they're going to start expanding out. And like I said, you're going to have gamers who are going to look at the, why is my Game Pass going up 50%? Fuck this. They'll start pulling their stuff and they'll either, they're going to make a couple different decisions, like as a gamer. One of the biggest misconceptions I think that some people have about gamers is that they're not necessarily bright or savvy people. But that's nothing could be further from the truth, right? In order to play at least some of these games anyway, you gotta have like a pretty decent brain on you. And one thing gamers are usually pretty good at is making a cost-value analysis. Like how much is it gonna cost me versus how much value does it bring into my life, or like a cost-benefit analysis kind of thing. But yeah, I think what's going to happen is they're going to be like, for the amount of money that I'm going to be paying, it means that I'm going to be paying less, I'm be paying more in Game Pass, which means I have less for buying individual games that I see through Game Pass and I might like and want to buy. So if I'm going to keep it, what I'm going to do is I'm going to downgrade to like a lower tier, save myself the money I would have been spending for Ultimate, which means that service is going to go largely unused for like a decent chunk of gamers. There's going to be the people who are either going to not pay attention to it, who are going to think that, what is it, Fortnite Pass that they're offering with the Xbox Game Pass increase. It's like Fortnite's Crew, I think is what it's called. EA Plus, you know, the EA online subscription, and Ubisoft Plus. You know, they're like, oh, this is going to be a great value for me. Here's the real deal, man. There's an article that I picked up from this website called The Game Business. And they really are trying to, like, instead of reporting it, they're trying to sell this idea to you. And the idea is being sold that, like, you know, going from $19 a month to, well, $20 a month to $30 a month is a big price hike. But they're like, well, when you consider all the stuff that you get with it, dude, yeah, I mean, maybe. Somebody could tell you like, hey, man, you know, you can have like an extra 50 years of life, but you're going to have herpes the entire time. I'm like, 50 years is a long time to not do anything with it. You know what I mean? Like, it's just crazy that they're like, there's good stuff in here. What? EA? EA's games are usually, like I said, just if it's not the sequelitis thing where they're killing every sports franchise and then nickel and diming their players to death with microtransactions and add-ons and season passes and this, that, and the other. Then you've got Ubisoft, which does the exact same thing, but in a different way, by basically making all their games, like a portion of the game available. And then the update is actually just the next game. So if you want to play the full game, you basically have to play whatever they put out then, and then wait for the next release, which is basically what they should have done for the other game, just with different characters. It's weird. And like I said, now that you're making this deal with the Saudi Arabian investment group, they're going to be looking at this and be like, hey, man, how many of you guys over there at Microsoft and Xbox are paying attention to what the fuck is happening in the world? It will probably take a little bit of time, because one of the other things you have to say about gamers, too, is they can be pretty stubborn and bullheaded when it comes to the thing they like. Trademark. Right? We saw it for years with the console wars, you know, Xbox versus Sony versus Nintendo, which didn't really factor because people just laughed at Nintendo for all these years until the Switch came around or when the GameCube was out. But here's the thing. Eventually, when it starts to hurt the pockets just enough, people will make the decision. It was one of the things this article points out, and I'll include it if you guys don't mind. I'll throw it into the description so you can check it out yourself. Whoever wrote this is basically saying like, you would save this much money because you're playing these games on Game Pass and you'd have to pay, you know, X amount, like $550 to play all the games that you play in a year. And the total cost of the games that are on there is like $10,000 up. And then there was already a price increase before. So they did a price increase before. So why are you mad about it now? Like, we were mad about it then, motherfucker. It was just reasonable. You know what I mean? 17.5%, which is, I mean, not crazy. It sounds like a lot, and it is, but that raised the price $3. You're raising it like almost half the total cost. if you're raising my prices by half, by 50, you're raising half the price, you're adding that on, like, fuck that. That makes it too sour for a lot of people to actually be able to afford. Especially if you haven't taken a look around in Trump's economy, things are crazy high expensive already. People are making decisions, literal. People who make a comfortable income are making decisions about whether or not we get food, whether or not we get gas, certain bills we're not going to pay, certain things we're going to cut out, certain places we ain't going to go no more, shit like that. They're changing their quality of life because they can't afford to do stuff. And that's only been in the last 6 to 8 months. Those are decisions that people are making on a daily basis. And you think they won't drop video games? I got a stack of games I can't wait to play. Ain't never cost me any more money than I already spent on them. So no to all that shit. And people will make those cost-benefit analyses. And once they do, like I said, you're going to see people either downgrade their tier or cancel it entirely. And here's the funky thing about it. Game Pass used to offer a yearly subscription offer, right? It used to be you could go and you'd walk into a store or you could go online. And you could go in there and there'd be like a 12-month card. And it would say 12 months, and then it would be like a bonus 1 month, or sometimes it would be like a bonus 3 month card. Like, you got something for paying for the subscription up front. That was back when they had Xbox Live Gold. And then when they switched over to Game Pass, they had that for a little while, where they had this offer that lets you stack Game Pass for like a year, which was awesome. For like 2 years, basically. You got 2 years for like a buck, and then you got to pay the full price at the end of 2 years. Great introduction, killer idea, probably brought a shitload of people in there. And then imagine, you only have to spend $1 for a year to have access to all these freaking games. And of course, the library started small because they were just getting things ported over. Games were starting to just first be developed for like the newer consoles. And so it took a little time for that to build up some market share. But once it did, people were like, well, shit, I don't have to drop $20 a month to play games on my Xbox now. I guess I can afford to buy a couple more games from Xbox, which is what we did. And it usually works because we know how economics works. If you have more disposable income, you're more likely to spend that on disposables, like video games. You might spend it on some bills here or there. You might pay down a credit card or two. But you might also want to have, I don't know, extra cheese on your Whopper. Or you might want that no expansion for Hollow Knight. Do you see what I'm saying? The fact that these people who are supposed to be big brains and titans of industry don't understand the very simple connections that human beings, the average everyday human being, makes really is very telling. And it's very worrying because it's just letting us know that, like, hey, they don't give a shit. They really don't. They never did, but it's very clear that they don't anymore, like, because they're not even hiding it, not even a little bit. And it's just really bizarre. Like, it doesn't even seem to cross their mind that, like, we should probably not be doing this. You know, it's just, I'm just always blown away by that. I'm always blown away by that. And then, of course, there's all the other tragic news that happens in and around, you know, just, you know, the politics of the day has little to do with, well, not little to do, but has less to do with this, but also, yes, to do with this. I don't know if you guys saw this story recently. But there's an 11-year-old who is, I'm going to make sure I get this right, because I don't want to screw this up. I don't want to say the wrong thing. And I definitely want to make sure that I have like the full story before I just start spouting off. But this is a crazy ass story. So get ready to get mad, because this is actually pretty insane. excuse me. I had to clear my throat there. Savitra McClurkin is the name of this mother, and she's out to get this school district and this school, and by the way, she should. She's been trying to enroll her son into another school because he was kicked out of the Dwight Rich School for the Arts in Lansing, Michigan in May. So this is an old story. Again, a lot of these stories, especially when they're racially charged, you're going to find that they get buried for months before you ever get to hear them. Because even major news outlets, which is, this is NBC News, just reported this thing a couple days ago. I mean, here we are on the 1st. It came out like literally like 8 days ago. But this happened back in March or May. So, you know, do the math on that one. How far back did this happen? We're just now hearing about it. And this is where it's going to get really funky, because you're going to want to understand the real stank kind of way in which police and politicians will try to paint Second Amendment issues with a certain brush, as long as the brush has the right color of paint on it. All right? So her 11-year-old son was expelled after he disassembled a gun that his classmate brought to school. Right? This is back in May. Let's pull through this. The boy found out about the gun because his friend had the gun in his, you know, in his backpack or whatever. And he went to the bathroom and then pulled the gun out and gave it to the other boy. Right? So I think they've Sakir Everett is his name. So this other kid, who they don't name, by the way, they don't name this little kid, gave Sakir a gun. And he's like, here, take this and hold on to it. But Sakir also learned from his godfather how to hunt and how to practice gun safety. And he knew there's no reason you should have the gun in school. And as mom said, his natural reaction was, there's no way I'm going to hold on to this gun all day. So he goes to class and then dismantles it. There's a teacher there. There are people around. And he didn't hide it. He took it apart and put it in a heater. And then it looks like it says, then he threw the bullets into a trash can. He didn't want it. He didn't want anybody else to mess with it. And then, he's like, when he was asked, like, why he didn't immediately tell an adult about the gun, he said he was scared and was never taught what to do when that happens to him. Like, when somebody hands you a gun and be like, hide this for me, he's like, I was scared. I didn't know what exactly to do. So they thought the best thing to do was to make sure that, like, we don't let anybody get shot. You know what I mean? So a potential school shooting was averted by this kid. And then the district says that the full account of the incident has not been reported, in their quotes, but that it couldn't comment further because of privacy laws. I wonder what that means. I'm very curious to know what that finally means. But this is the most we're hearing about the story right now. But they said the police took the student who brought the gun to school into custody, but they didn't say anything about the incident as far as Sakir was concerned. Disciplinary action would not have been warranted for disarming another student. Please note that the safety of our students and staff remains our paramount interest, and decisions will continue to be made in accordance with that principle. This is from the school district in Lansing. And they're like, yeah, they had a whole ass school board meeting where his mom had to go up there and be like, we got to do this, we got to do that. You know, this is wrong. You got to fix this, get my son back in school. And then they didn't offer another option for him. They was like, figure it out, fucker. So he's been denied admission to 4 schools because the expulsion's on his record. So he can't even go to school. He's actually taking an online unaccredited schooling program right now. She's like, they're trying to turn him into a statistic. In the video, I can link this later, but in the video that I was watching, she said, they're trying to turn my son into a statistic. And I couldn't agree more. Like, you take an 11-year-old, and I forgot to mention, I don't know why I have to say this, but I'm going to. He's a young black kid who, through smart actions, through responsible gun handling, and a sense of duty and civic duty and responsibility for his other classmates, teachers, and staff at the school, took apart a weapon, hid the pieces of the weapon so that the other student couldn't find them, disposed of their bullets, and then was like, hey, we got to figure this shit out. And finally, he talks to a teacher. He's in trouble. He's a bad boy for doing that. Right? We're not going to talk about the other kid, though. Why are we not talking about this other kid? What was the deal? I want to know what this other kid was about. They did this kid wrong, and they're not apologetic about it at all. They're just kind of like, well, he was expelled because he wasn't supposed to have the gun. Bitch, he didn't have the gun. He probably saved who knows how many lives by doing what he did. This is a really weak, shitty stance that the school is taking, and it really is a way to try to say, hey, man, we just don't give a fuck about you and your people. Imagine. And I'm gonna put it to you like this. Because we've seen instances like this before in the past. It doesn't happen often. Most of these stories end in tragedy. But occasionally you hear a story where somebody found out that somebody else had a gun at school and they either report it or they hide it or something like that. And those kids are hailed as heroes. I'll give you one guess on what the difference is between Sakir and those kids. Take a flying fucking guess. In more, this is how we feel about you kind of news. I saw this on YouTube and I went back and went to go fact check it a little bit more. And it's interesting. It's an interesting story. This is from The Guardian, and there's a gentleman named Alex O'Keefe, a black man who's a writer. And if you've heard about the FX hit show, it's called The Bear. It's kind of based like in and around this restaurant and the people that work in there. I haven't seen it myself. I hear it's amazing. Heard nothing but good things about it. He's one of the writers on the show. He was taken off a New York commuter train in handcuffs because he had a dispute with the passenger over how he was sitting. And a video of him being pulled off the train told he was resisting arrest and that he was causing a disturbance was because he wasn't sitting the way an old white woman wanted him to sit. I wish I was bullshitting. I'm absolutely not. He was headed to Connecticut on the Metro North train, and he was removed by police after an older white woman complained to a conductor about the way he was sitting. Just how he was sitting. I mean, he wasn't dancing, he wasn't rapping or anything like that. What's some other stereotypical black activities he could be doing? He wasn't eating fried chicken and watermelon on a fucking train. He was just sitting his ass down, which is what you do when you get on the train. You either sit or you stand, and he was sitting. And then the conductor, after this lady went and talked to him, the conductor then, instead of talking to O'Keefe or telling this lady to just stuff it and sit the fuck down, he called the police. He called the MTA. So the Metropolitan Transit Authority said that they had shown video. He was sitting with his legs stretched out across an adjacent seat. It's a violation of the rail line's rules. Who gives a fuck? Nobody else was sitting there. He's like, I don't have to move. He's like, ain't nobody trying to sit down. It's not a packed train. There's dozens of seats around here. I'm not hurting anybody. It's against the fucking rules. Fuck you. You know how many people fall asleep on the fucking train every day? That's against the rules. And people piss on the train every day, take a shit on the train, do drugs on the train, have sex on the train. It's crazy. If you've never taken public transportation, you don't know what I'm talking about. But if you have and you live in a major metropolitan area, you've seen at least one of those activities I just listed actually happen on the train at one point. Shit, you might have even done one of those activities. So the fact that he was just lying there waiting for the train and he was taking a long trip from New York to Connecticut. This is just an old white lady who just had a problem. So then they held up the train and then they handcuffed him because he was like, I shouldn't have to leave. Like, why do I have to leave? Like, I'm not hurting anybody. I'm not breaking any rules. They're like, well, they made this whole shit up about stretching across the seats later. When they first arrested him, they said they arrested him, and you could hear it in the video, for creating a disturbance. And then they were gonna take him out for a resisting arrest. Well, guess what? Sue, my brother. Sue. Sue the MTA. Sue, like, those two cops individual in particular, the two who came to arrest you, the man and the woman. Sue the conductor. Sue that old-ass lady. And sue her stupid-ass daughter who's sitting next to her. Sue all of them. Get the bag. Make this a problem. That's what we have to start doing with these people. And I'm saying these people, but I mean really, like, you know, these racist, bigoted, you know, just I hate so-and-so group because they don't look like me, dress like me, worship like me, fuck like me. Those kinds of people, the only thing they really respond to is a threat of equivalent violence. And for them, their biggest thing to take away from you is your power and your agency, and sometimes your life. That's what they think is the biggest thing they can do. And it usually is. But what you can do to them that hurts worse, make their pocketbooks light. When people's pockets get light, you know what I mean? They start acting different. Look at Disney. Like we were talking about Xbox earlier. Watch. Watch as word of this whole Xbox shit starts getting out. People are like, what? You're going to do what? No. Son, like, I canceled Disney Plus. I shut this shit off too. I've been dying to read some books lately. Watch. It's gonna come. You start hitting these people in their pockets, They got no choice but to react. Now I hope the same thing goes for Sakir Everett's mother and his family, and you know they go after that school district and be like, "You basically have made my son illegitimate for being able to move to the next grade because the courses he's taking are unaccredited courses; they don't count." And the school board says they could take up to 180 days to work through this decision. Like, he ain't got no choice. He has no hope. He has no hope of being reinstated in the school and making it into a program that's going to give him the amount of course credit that he would need to continue forward with his education. You're making him a statistic. Guess what? I'd like to see 8 or 9 zeros behind a number going on a check into his pocket so he can go afford to move the fuck out of that place and go to a place where he can afford a decent school that's going to treat him like a human fucking being. And that's my word. I'm really sick of these people just thinking they can get away with this shit too. And it's time that we all start standing up for one another, because that's what's happening. Sometimes we have to stand up for ourselves, which is normal. But sometimes you have to stand up for other people too. You know, it's just crazy that that's a thing we have to consider. I'm so over this shit. But all that said, I mean, one thing I see coming out of this is that it is starting to reach other people. They are starting to get mad and get active, get motivated to stand up for one another and to protect one another's rights. You're starting to see it shift. And I think if we're very mindful about where we do our activism and how we enact like the ideas that, you know, we talk about maybe in hushed tones or maybe in a podcast, if we're careful about the way in which we enact those kinds of ideologies and movements that make change, we could change a lot. We can do some real actual good where our politicians, our faith leaders, our community leaders may not necessarily give a damn about trying to do the right thing. We as individuals can come together and show that there are certain things that we don't agree with and that we're not going to allow to stand. Anyway, what has been refreshing at the very least this week was the NFL foosball. So I think I've said like last week, well, week before last, I know I said like all the teams are going to lose. I'm like, this week, I'm like, I don't know. Seems like these games are going to be too tight to call. I don't really remember my predictions. I meant to write them down, but I forgot. But anyway, we had some really sad news. Tyreek Hill, who was just an all-around, just absolute, like, I don't know how do you put it, just like a up-and-coming legend in the football world. I mean, Tyreek's on the Miami Dolphins, and they won against the Jets 27-21 this past week. But Tyreek took a huge, huge hit, and the injury ended up dislocating his knee and tearing multiple ligaments, including his ACL. They said he might not even be ready to go at the start of next year. So a lot of people are saying, like, this is just a really horrible injury update. Some doctors have said it could probably be career-threatening, but that's just probably speculation through the internet. We don't know what his medical team has to say about this. But he would be in his 11th year of his career. But people are just saying, like, he should probably retire. I don't know. I would not want to take somebody's livelihood away from them. And I wouldn't encourage the man to do, you know, what the fans say if he feels like he's capable of being able to handle the pressures of the game. But it didn't look good. I caught a glimpse of it in the side of at a corner of my eye, and I was like, that does not, he's, oh, I'm like, he's probably toast on this one. So I hate that for him because, you know, he's just a dynamic player. And from what all reports, he's like an all-around cool dude. But, you know, prayers to Tyreek Hill and his family and the team. And, yeah, but mostly him and his family to kind of navigate how they want to move forward. It's a heartbreaker for them. I can't imagine. Just what I saw, and I didn't get a good look because I didn't want to. What I saw looked horrifying. So I'm hoping that it's maybe the prognosis actually is, you know, better than we hoped. Maybe he comes back, you know, just as strong as ever, if not better. I mean, who knows? But Let's move on to some slightly brighter news. All three of the teams I usually talk about, the Chicago Bears, the Jacksonville Jaguars, and the Pittsburgh Steelers, all won, albeit in very tight games this week. Chicago went up against the Las Vegas Raiders and just managed to eke out a victory, 25-24. And these two games I didn't see because we were watching the Jacksonville-San Francisco game. And Pittsburgh also won 24-21 against the Minnesota Vikings. Now, the Jaguars do manage to win this game against the Niners. And they managed to pull this out 26-21. But in typical Jacksonville or Cardiac Cats fashion, while they made some good moves, and you started to see, like I said last week, I was starting to see like how they decide to come together as a team. Are they able to work under the pressure that they usually fall apart under? You know, trying to become this fourth quarter team with rallies at the very end of the game instead of playing just a consistent, steady stream of defense and offense. Nothing too flashy, nothing too crazy, but just kind of just moving the ball down the field 5 to 8 yards at a time. You know what I mean? Slowing down the pace of the opposing offense and then not giving up so many penalties and interceptions. Jacksonville did their best to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory, and they almost did it, but they accidentally won this one. And, you know, there's the usual pile on for the coach and the quarterback, you know, this, that, and the other. But the real issue, I think, on either side of the team, offense or defense, the real issue is more the offensive side, I think. Now, there's definitely some defensive penalties that came up and cost Jacksonville a bunch of yards. But at one point, I think we're going into the third quarter, they were saying that Jacksonville had allowed like 72.6 yards of penalties on average for just like the first couple of weeks of the season. That's over the whole course of like 3 weeks, 4 weeks. That one game alone, at that point, they had 80 yards of penalties. That's almost an entire possession's worth of penalties because you're going to be in scoring range. Now, like I said, they did show some signs of life. There was some promise there. And I know that, you know, nobody wants to see their team lose. That's not what I'm saying. I'm definitely not hoping for it anyway. But it's just one of those things where you have to really got to be mindful about how are things progressing? You know what I mean? Like, are we really getting anywhere? Are we going to make any real significant moves? Are we learning the lessons that we need to be learning? I don't know that they are yet. It's still, like I said, I think it's still too early to tell for sure, but it don't feel great to look at it and go like, I've got every confidence in this team. Not really. That's Jacksonville and Chicago. I can't really speak to the Steelers because I rarely watch the Steelers. I get them every now and again. But I don't know, man. I got a real weird feeling about this year. This one's pretty shaky. But going in, I mean, congrats to all of them for winning this week. But going into next week, we're coming up on week 5 of the NFL season. We got Kansas City versus Jacksonville. And I really think people are leaning heavily on Kansas City. And I don't think that they're incorrect. But I would like to see the Jaguars take them down. I don't know that it'll happen. You have every reason to believe to the contrary that, you know, they're not going to be able to pull this shit off. But that's just, you know, that's mostly just like, you know, history and supposition at work right now. Without sitting down and talking to a coach or something like that, I have no idea. I've got less idea than most people, to be quite fair and honest. But yeah, if we're looking at Jacksonville versus, Kansas City. I'm not gonna lie, man. It would be crazy to see this, but I think Jacksonville could possibly do it. I'm gonna give the nod to the Jags for the win, in hopes that they actually do. I don't know that they will. Obviously, like I said, it's hard to know for sure. So I put a little check mark next to their name so I can keep this organized for next week so I don't forget. I think it's gonna be close. It's gonna be real close. But I'm gonna give the nod to the Jaguars just for this one. And then the Steelers looks like they have either the week off or they won't be like, yeah. They have like the week off, so it's going to be a tight one for them. And then Chicago, I think, is off too next week as well. So that's going to be an easy one. Be a real quick one next week for the gridiron gripes. We were also laughing. My wife was watching the game. And she was like, why the fuck are they not moving at the kickoff? And it's like, oh, don't you remember? That's the new rule right now. You're not allowed to run until the ball crosses like the 20-yard line. And like the real stupid thing about it is this is how more people are getting hurt recently. Again, the logic doesn't pair out with it doesn't hit parity with the actual data. You know what I mean? Like if you're running the whole length of a football field to catch a dude, you're going to tire yourself out. You're going to eventually start to lose steam. But if you can start running from like the 30, 40-yard line, when they get to 20, you got a good head of speed already built up. By the time you hit them, you're moving like a freight train. You're going to hurt somebody. People are going to get injured. And it's happening more and more and more. And it won't be until, you know, somebody like a Tom Brady, you know what I mean? Or pick somebody, you know what I mean? Yeah, see, like a high profile quarterback, white dude, gotta be a white dude, gets planted. Like Tyreek Hill, they've already moved on the news cycle from Tyreek Hill. Like I'll hear about him again probably tomorrow when Thursday Night Football comes on. But outside of that, you really rarely see him in the news. If it was Tom Brady, though, you hear about him every day. Just be real. I'm calling it what it is. We know it. Don't act like we're brand new here. This is real shit, real talk we're talking about. But, I mean, these kinds of stupid strategic moves, I guess they're trying to call them, to reduce penalties or reduce injuries, they're just creating more problems. I don't know why they keep doing it. Anyway, good luck. We'll see what happens come next week. But I'm going to put mine on the Jaguars. I'm going to say it's going to be within, I'm going to say we're probably going to come down to another nail bite, another field goal game. I'm going to say it's a field goal game. I'd love to see it be better, but I don't know that it will be. I think there's still a little bit of stank on the preseason games. I think it was Jacksonville that played KC in the preseason and gave him a whooping. If I remember right, it was a while back. Preseason. I mean, the good thing about ESPN, if for nothing else, you can go back and look at the old scores. I think it was it week two or three? They went up against KC Mo. No, that was Nolens. Was it week three? I want to say they went up against KC. Maybe I'm remembering wrong. Maybe I'm thinking of somebody else entirely, which is possible. Oh, yeah. I was thinking about Chicago and KC. My bad. But yeah, that's it. But I mean, Jacksonville and Kansas City, Chicago and Jacksonville kind of get interchangeable just because of the way they play, the way they handle the ball, the way they handle their offense in particular. Their defenses are usually pretty solid, categorically speaking, but I don't know. We'll see. Any hoodles? Yeah. Let's talk about some other random stuff. Dude, I got to tell you, I was listening to a thing, listening to a song on the radio. Yeah, obviously, today is the 1st of October. And I was hearing this song, Wake Me Up When September Ends by Green Day. And then somebody put up a meme of like Billy Joel with his eyes closed. And then the next scene was basically he hadn't moved, but he just had his eyes bug wide open. It's like September to like it was like I think it was like yeah like September 30th to October 1st, and he's like, oh come on, stop it, you guys. Yeah, it was really funny. But I mean, and here's the other thing too. Everybody's so spun up on moving the holidays to this day and this day. I've heard so many people over the last year. Now, I get the idea that you know you want to have something to celebrate and enjoy, and I'm not saying that you can't do that privately. You know what I mean? Just if you want Halloween all year round, decorate your house like that. You know what I mean? On the inside, leave the rest of us the fuck alone. You know, have your little movie marathons. You'll listen to your music. You know, like somebody put on like you know soundtrack music, or they put on like you know silly Halloween type music. Whatever. That's fine. Do your thing. But leave the holidays where they fucking belong. That's just like also like along with putting shit back where it belongs. Oh my God. Yeah, like if you don't understand this, one, we'll go to the second point after, and just we'll go to the second point first, and then we'll come back to my first point. Putting something where it belongs creates a couple of benefits that you don't necessarily see. You know, they're intangible benefits. One is that you'll automatically know where the thing is because you put it back where it belonged. You don't have to hunt for it later. Two, if you run out or think you've run out, you can always go where it's supposed to be and you can find out for sure, hey, where are we out of this thing? And you'll be like, oh, I need to go get some more of that thing. And then three, if other people might need said thing, they can go and get it without having to bother people and be like, where's this? Where's this? Where's this? Put shit where it goes. And then you don't have to worry about that, right? It just creates a lot less stress, less headache. You know, it's a more fluid and efficient system. And there are some times when you're like, I don't understand why this is here. Well, then talk that shit out. But one of the things that always irritated me, especially since I grew up from a very young child being taught like, hey, everything has a place and everything should be in its place. So, you know, make sure if your toys go here, your shoes go there, your books go there, your jacket goes here. Those kinds of things are made for the ease not only of finding the thing when you need it, but also not having to have other people distract from their day to help you figure out your bullshit, right? And so in a similar vein, that's why I say leave the holidays where they belong. This is because I've noticed that, you know, people get so wrapped up in doing this, that, and the other. Like, oh, I would love to have Halloween all year long. It should be Christmas all year long. 4th of July should be every 4th of the month. And like, no, fucking chill. Because you're adding extra stress. You're adding extra layers to a thing that's supposed to be a fun, singular celebration. Now there are certain seasons, right? You got summer season. You got like spooky season. You got like, you know, the holiday season. It's not my fault that the calendar stacks the best holidays at the end of the year. What you gonna do about it, right? But at the same time, it's one of those things where if you keep trying to push everything forward and forward and forward so you get to experience it sooner and sooner and earlier and more, it loses some of its flavor. It loses some of what makes it special and makes it unique, right? And then you got some Christmas in my Halloween, you know what I mean? You got some 4th of July, you know, in my Valentine's Day. Like, can we all take a break? Like, yeah, like, let's just chill and let's have the holidays be what they're supposed to be, when they're supposed to be. You know what I mean? Give yourself a week for Halloween? Shit, why not? You don't need 3 months. I love Christmas. It's one of my favorite times of the year. I love the music and I love the songs. You know, the music and the songs. I love the music and I love the celebration and the friends and family. And all that stuff is wonderful and beautiful for me to see, right? It can have the last 2 weeks of December. That's as much as it should have. And then like after the first week of January is over, wrap it up. Let's go. I seriously think that you could start doing Christmas shit. I know people put their trees up the day after Thanksgiving, sometimes the day of Thanksgiving after dinner, which is maniacal and rude, by the way. You're going to stuff me full of turkey and dressing and ham and green bean casserole. And then you want me to fucking do manual labor? Fuck you. We're here to watch the game on the couch in sweatpants with a blanket on and a mug of hot cocoa. We ain't doing shit else. That shit can wait till tomorrow. But yeah, like... I'm one of those people who also, as an adult, when I got out on my own and very minimalist in a lot of regards, I have stuff and things and I hate the stuff and things that I have. It actually makes me feel crazy that I have so much shit in my office. You know what I mean? Like I'm actually considered doing like a yard sale to get rid of some of the stuff in my office just so it can be elsewhere. And also because I don't have the money to build shelving in here like I'd like, but still there's that. But yeah, it's just, I think about like how much more stress that kind of stuff adds. And like, we don't have to keep doing this to ourselves. I love Christmas. I think Christmas could actually just be sincerely, in all honesty, it could be like, you could start it, like if you're going to give people a Halloween and it's the end of the year, so you got Christmas and New Year's back to back, give people like from the 20th of December until the 5th of January. That's just the Christmas season. And if it stayed right there for the rest of my life, I would be okay with it. I sincerely would be. Because I think that makes it more special. Also, you're not annoying everybody all the way into fucking late October. you know, into November with Christmas decorations. And then you're thinking about, you got to get so-and-so a present, but do you really want to get them one? Because they used to, you know, be cool with you, but now they're not. And then, you know, you get your sister's boyfriend something because, I mean, he was all right. But then there's that one time when he made her cry and they broke up for like a couple weeks, but now they're back together. And then do you get one for your dad? Because I don't know, man, me and Pops don't really fuck with each other like that no more. You know, it's just more like a, hey, glad to see you kind of thing. Or, you know, do you do that? That's just a lot of extra pressure. Are we going to so-and-so's place for this year? Oh, if you're a married couple, maybe you split the holidays between your family members. Well, you went over to their place for Christmas last year. You're only going to be here for... Okay, good God almighty. Can we please just have that holiday be just that holiday? There's so much other stuff going on around that time of year. The last thing you need to do is stretch it out even further. And I love them, but leave them alone. Leave them alone. Put them back. Put it down. 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 You stop that shit right now. Put that shit down on the ground. Put that shit back on the ground. Getting yelled at by your mom. Oh, there's some cool stuff I want you guys to remember about too, though. One, obviously, the Patreon. Please go over there and check it out. I'm going to be doing some stuff. I keep saying this, and I'm like, I keep getting derailed. One of the biggest issues I've had lately is it just seems like anytime I eat anything, my stomach goes haywire. So like for the last 3 days, I'm not going to get too indelicate about this, but I have been a frequent visitor to the porcelain throne in my house. And it's made me very tired. I'm trying not to be irritable, but I'm in constant, like a constant state of owl. And then on top of that, you know what I mean? I'm getting a brain fog because I'm trying to eat, but I'm not getting the nutrients that I need because it's not staying in. I'm not digesting. And it's just like, ugh. So I've been kind of beat up, but I have some ideas for one, just like a music themed kind of podcast. Play like small snippets of something so you can hear it, but not enough to get in trouble. And then like a media review thing because I've got a bunch of things I've been checking up on lately. I think you guys might be interested in. So hopefully we'll catch that. And then a dream diary kind of thing, which would be really fun. It's like bonus content. I was going to do that, but then the weirdest thing, I've been having the most boring ass dreams. Like even if something remotely exciting happens, it just kind of feels like it was like a normal day, you know, like I'm trying to remember one of these. I was at a restaurant. I worked at this restaurant. And while I'm at the restaurant, we have like a staff meeting. And then after the staff meeting, we're supposed to go and get, you know, everything set up for the day. And then after the staff meeting, like one of the servers asks if I want to go out. And I'm like, yeah, we'll go out after the shift. And then another one was like, hey, one of the new girls at my, I think it's like a gym or something like that, was like going to come by. He's like, would you want to meet her? Now in this dream, I'm like back in my 20s. So I'm not even thinking about it, but I'm like, nah, I think I'm good. Cause my conscious brain is saying like, I'm married. I'm not doing this. But my dream is like, this is some other bullshit going on right now. So I was looking at him like, I'm not really into that. And then my mouth goes, that sounds cool. And I'm like, fucking dude, what are you doing? I keep reminding myself, this is a dream. I'm not actually planning to do this. Some dream lady that I'd never even met. And then, like, I forget what it was that happened, but there's nothing after that. It was just basically, I worked a shift in my dream. You know what I mean? I worked a job at a restaurant in my dream while I was sleeping. That's how fucking awesome my dreams have been lately. Which, I guess it's a change of pace from the nightmares that I used to have back when I was younger. But, I mean, where are my cool Star Wars dreams at? I think Disney Plus fucked that up for me. So I don't even dream about Star Wars anymore. Thanks a lot, Disney. Way to ruin my dream sleep, my dream cycles. All right. Well, anyway, we'll see what's going on coming up. But I want you guys to check this out. I'm going to put this in the pod as well so you guys can take a look. I'm going to have the bad news stories in there, obviously, because I think people should know and should... hear about those kinds of things and be aware that those things happen. So the story about the young boy who got expelled for saving lives is going to be there. Plus the Xbox breakdown. For the Game Pass Ultimate, you're going to see the article that I read from the Game Business website, gamebusiness.com. And like I said, when you read it, just remember, they're putting a spin on this. So I feel like they were being like paid by Microsoft to write this glowing letter about this when I'm like, this is just a bad business move and it's a greedy one. But there is another good one, and this is really cool. I heard about this from my good friend Sam and a couple other people I want to say. I can't remember exactly who was on that call. It was a little bit drinky 30 that night. But if you're curious, there's a place called the Uncensored Library. And this is a group of people who are working through the game of Minecraft to create a living version of something like the Library of Alexandria, where books and other creative written materials can be basically scanned in and saved in like a digital repository. So I'm going to link that in here too. Just like, looks like there's a bunch of cool stuff that they're trying to work on. And it's one of those things where like you get to see people who have a passion for something and they start to build the thing. And then as it starts to gain some traction, the more and more people hear about it, like more people want to donate to it. So one of the things I'll read off from their website, you're going to love this, I think, if you get a chance to look at it. They built a hand in Minecraft, like a statue of a hand with a pen clutched in the fist. And it says, in many countries, websites, social media, and blogs are often controlled by oppressive leaders. Young people in particular are forced to grow up in systems where their opinion is heavily manipulated by governmental disinformation campaigns. But even where almost all media is blocked or controlled, the world's most successful computer game is still accessible. Reporters Without Borders, RSF, uses this loophole to bypass internet censorship to bring back the truth within Minecraft. So they have built, basically, like I said, an online version of the Library of Alexandria, the Library of Congress, all these big libraries around the world. And they're just trying to fill it with all of the books and knowledge that they can have in there, because in a digital format, you don't need space. You know what I mean? Like, you could just upload all these great materials there. So I'm going to link it into the description so you guys can take a look. If you like what their message is, I'm sure they have places where you can go to donate. You can read more about it on their website. I thought it was a really cool way to end the podcast, to let you guys know that as crazy as the world can seem, there are people out there doing good, and you can be one of them. You can be one of them every given day, just by being better, a better person today than you were yesterday, and then tomorrow than you were today. And being nice to people, just being nice and thoughtful and considerate of others. Doesn't take a lot. It's a very simple ask. I hope you guys do it. In the meantime, in between time, I'm going to let y'all go. I'm Link Flores. This has been a Wandering One podcast. You guys have been dope. And I'll catch you wanderers a little further on down the road. See ya next week. Peace.